Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
It has been hot, and everybody's been wondering, why is Roger Goodell not spoken out?
He was a silent one.
About the horrible no call in the NFC Championship game. And today he spoke. He had no choice. He met with the media, as he always does at the Super Bowl. And he spoke, and of course he was asked about the no call. Here's what he said. We will look again at instant replay. Should replay be expanded? It does not cover judgment calls. This was a judgment call. The other complication is this was a no call. And our coaches and clubs have been very resistant, and there has not been support to date of having a replay assistant or somebody in New York throw a flag when there has not been a flag on the field. What do you think about that?
BS and poppycock. That's what
really?
I say. Yeah. From this standpoint, that's not what we wanted to hear, and that's not what NFL America wanted to hear.
What did NFL
America
want to hear?
NFL America wanted to hear Roger Goodell say, it was a lousy call, a terrible call, and we will work to get the best referees out on the field, and we're going to hold them accountable the way general managers are held accountable, the way coaches are held accountable, the way players are held accountable. And if you don't do your job correctly, you will not, N-O-T, be an official in the NFL. That's all. No one else is asking for anything special. Everybody's accountable for their job. Chris, if we don't do our job and we don't get ratings, you know what happens? We get fired.
Right.
If you're a coach and your team doesn't win, what happens? You get fired. If you're a player and you can't make it happen, you get fired. These officials, they blew it. Why are we afraid to say that they did not do their job?
Should they have been fired?
They wouldn't work a big game. If you don't want to fire them for their first offense, it should be a 3 strikes. You know, or something. And if you make 3 bad calls, I'm talking about bad calls like we saw here.
Well, there haven't been
not a questionable call or a 50-50
history of the game. Yeah.
But if you have something like this, I can't have you work a big game. You're not good enough to work a big game. And to act like it doesn't matter is not right. You're talking about, well, it's human and people make – we know that. We do know that. Hey, Roger Goodell. That's why they put erasers on pencils, because people make mistakes. But that's not what I wanted to hear today from him. First of all, you took way too long to say anything, and then you give me some, well, people are human. I don't want to hear that. That's not what the people in New Orleans want to hear, and that's not what football fans want to hear.
Well, the people in New Orleans want to hear, you know what?
We're going to play that
game
again
on Sunday.
No, that ain't
happening. We'll push back the Super Bowl for a week. But no, you know what? I agree with you. You're right. He could have came out. And if he had been assertive,
yes,
strong, concise, clear, like you stated, then I think a lot of people would have just backed up and, okay.
Right. What could you respond to that if he said that?
Because you know they're not – nothing else was going to happen. As you said, there's nothing he would have said that could have really satisfied everybody.
But if
he had made a strong statement about the accountability of officials, then that would have – a lot of people would have liked that.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's all. I mean, you don't have to rip those guys personally and all that, but say we're going to get the best officials to get the calls right. That was not a hard call to make, and we didn't get it right. And that's not what the National Football League is going to be about. We're never going to have our playoffs where we're talking about officiating. That's not what we want.
Right.
We want to talk about football, not officiating.
Well, what do you think? He mentioned that they're going to look again at instant replay. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm against every judgment call and all. You know, when you get into that, you open up a can of worms. Are we going to really do that where it's like – and I heard your plan where you keep the number the same.
Well, let me say my plan. Don't say my
plan.
No,
all right, but you've said it. But, you know – but
I'm just messing with
but
you.
But my issue is I don't want them, like, somebody throws a game-winning touchdown, we're going to challenge
you. But it's already, no. I mean, we already have to review every touchdown.
I know.
So it's already
no.
a slight bit anticlimactic.
No. But you don't go in and go, hey, look, there was a holding, and then you throw the flag and say, let's bring that back. I don't want them to start taking touchdowns off the field and go, oh, yeah, we just replayed it. Look, there's a holding there. That was a holding call that was missed. Let's bring that touchdown back. I don't want that kind of football.
I don't think anybody wants
to
see
that. Because
you could review every single
play
and to see if there's a holding. But you could – look, I'm in favor of allowing things – like I think that play should have been reviewable. And maybe you just say, look, it has to be – like, if there's a pass, it has to be with the receiver and the defensive back.
But
you can't look at the offensive line. If no flag was thrown on the offensive line or defensive line, you can't look at that.
That's what I'm saying.
But you can look at the pass. You can look at the defensive play, you know, the defensive back. Like as long as you don't add challenges – as long as you keep the same number of challenges,
we don't need the game to go longer.
No, it wouldn't, because coaches would be hesitant, you know, in the second quarter to throw a flag, you know, to throw the challenge flag when they know they won't have them at the end of the game.
Okay, now here's my pushback to you. So imagine that they had already used their challenges.
Well,
and then Sean Payton didn't have one. At the end of the game,
then
right?
Then he would have gotten ripped by his own fans.
Okay, but
it
maybe
wouldn't have been as much the league.
No,
it would have been the coach.
But then I'm just saying that you would have had the same result, and then they would have said, well, he didn't have enough challenges. We need to have more of challenges. Why should – you know what I mean? You're going to get
possible.
Into that only from the standpoint of what if there were two or three really bad plays earlier in the game that he thought were – he needed for his team in a situation. So he used them thinking, I need to get these points or whatever it is. And then that horrible play happens, and he can't challenge it because he's out of
play. I think a lot of people would look at him. You're right. You're never going to please everybody because
right.
There is the human element. You're never going to please everybody. But I do think plays like that have to be reviewable.
I just want those guys accountable.
And you're right. You don't want guys – you know, holding penalties. Oh, that nobody ever even saw.
Right.
Except
originally.
The one team that was zeroing in on it. You don't want that. So take away the line of scrimmage unless something's called. But receivers, defensive backs, something like that. And coaches, that's why the game wouldn't be lengthened, because coaches have to be deliberate about saving their flags maybe for the last 2 minutes or whatever.
But you're still in a dilemma. You can't save if a play happens in the third quarter. You don't even know
you have to decide.
You don't even know
but
if there's going to be a big play in the fourth quarter.
No, you're
that
right.
matters.
But that's going to be part of the coaching.
That's the big thing. But people still would be upset if
yeah,
the coach –
I mean, it's just like the NCAA tournament. You know, you got 64 teams. You know, or whatever it is now, 67
right,
or whatever.
And then they play.
You know, yeah, I mean, why not 100? Why
right.
not 84? So you're never going to satisfy everybody, the college football playoff. You know, you got four. Why not six
Before
or eight?
There was no playoff,
right.
They weren't happy. Now you got a playoff, they're not happy.
Yeah, so nothing's going to be perfect 100%. But I do think, Rob, that would go a long way in making things better. And I also wish they could do something – just the idea of officials not being full-time is strange to me.
No,
at this level?
But the NFL's cheap, and they don't want to pay those guys because it's only 16 games. If they can avoid having to pay them and full benefits and all that other stuff that comes with
they
it.
They should get full benefits.
Right, they should be. And then you know what they should
do.
They
should be compensated enough
and you know what they should
where
be
they
doing?
Don't have to work anything else.
In the offseason? Is that they should be working on their craft.
Right.
They should be studying films. Like
you
it's a
maybe
full-time
do
job.
Arena football, whatever. You know, you could work some other league into some whatever. But you're right. Like, I get it. Yeah, no, the offseason is not that long where you can't work during the offseason and, you know, on football.
No, but I'm saying, right, on
right,
football, that's
right.
their full-time job.
All right. I get it. Yep, I think that's a good – I like your point, though, man. You came out strong. You came out slamming.
Every day, man.
Well,
Every day.
I'm actually surprised. I was taken aback. I was all ready to
pounce
slam
on me.
You down. Exactly. And you actually came with a – you do it every 2.5, 3 weeks.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now we're joined by three-time Super Bowl champion, NFL Network analyst, and somebody that's got a bone to pick
Who?
With Rob Parker.
With me?
Patriots great Willie McGinnis.
What?
What's up, man?
Willie, what's going on,
I'm
bud?
I'm good, man.
How are you?
I'm great, man. Your accent changed a little
bit. Is that
bit.
Right?
Hey, that bass in his voice man. Is gone, right?
Yeah, he's learning how to change his voice has changed. His accent has changed, man.
Call me. We'll talk.
Your media pass is a different address on here. It's a little different
it's
now,
a little
man.
Different now?
Yeah.
Man, I got your team, former team, all worked up.
Did you?
Yeah,
what happened, man?
Bit.
I forgot. What
went on? I was sitting there with Colin. We were talking about, you know, the playoffs, and the Patriots came up, and before I know it.
You lost it, huh?
I was just like, I'm on my way. I'm talking about
Mexico.
I'm ready to go move to Mexico and help build a wall, you know what I mean? It's a second job.
Wow, man. It's incredible, man. You know, the power of motivation, you know?
Do they really use that?
Absolutely. So we used it in this same game 17 years ago. Just remember, when we played the greatest show on turf, nobody gave us
Nobody gave us a chance. It was all about St. Louis.
Yeah, we were 14-point underdogs in this game.
Nobody, I remember that.
Madden said we'd be losing by 30 points at halftime. Like, we didn't have a shot in hell to play in this game. And all we heard all week was about the Rams. When we sat down for interviews, it was about the Rams. Everything we did was about the Rams and how great they were and how we're going to be able to keep up. And, you know, this team, they're so special. They're already working on the second ring, the back-to-back rings and all the different things. And do you know how much that infuriated us as a team and as players and the disrespect that we felt going into this game and how that made us feel and how the coaches used that to their advantage? We had clippings on our lockers and things that media personalities said and ex-players said about us and what would happen. And we had to just bottle that up all week long. We couldn't say nothing. We couldn't talk to the media about it. And when we got on that field, man, we unleashed. We let it
you
go.
You hear guys say, well – We don't need extra motivation. Right.
We don't talk. We don't care about the media. What people say.
But there is another level.
You don't. I mean, you don't. If you're a competitor and you're a player, you don't need it. But when you feel it and you take it as disrespect, that's different. That's when somebody telling you what you can't do and what you want to do. I don't care what sport you play or who you are. If you're a competitor and I'm in a locker room with you and somebody's saying that about you, that doesn't bother you. I don't want to be your teammate. Right. I want that to be personal. Now it becomes personal. You know, and I think when you've had so much success, and you guys can relate to this, you guys have been around the game of basketball, football, whatever, forever. When you had a level of success for so long, I think it's natural to become complacent, right? It's natural to become like, this is the norm. This is how things are supposed to happen. Right. And sometimes you need a spark. Sometimes you need something just to put a chip on your shoulder or reset the engine, re-get you going again. And that was it. And they hadn't been playing well. So some of it was true. The Patriots haven't been playing well.
So they were
3-5 on the road. They wasn't playing great football. They wasn't playing championship football. But was they done? That was the question. Were they done?
Right.
Basically, you're endorsing my rant that I was right.
No.
That I was right. When you heard it,
you went
on,
overboard.
Like, what'd you say?
You went overboard.
I
was sitting there like, man, not only has Rob disrespected me in my face on the show when I was on Undisputed.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You said we cheated. We couldn't win. We needed help. All this stuff. I'm sitting there saying, look at it. Look at what he's doing. They're taking all this right here, and all this is going on the big old collage. It's going to get played in front of the team. He's like the coach, Andy Reid. This dark empire is over. It ends right here in Kansas. Oh, man, you was good. You should have got an award
for
your performance,
Thank
man.
You.
Yeah, for your performance, because we know it wasn't real. You know, acting is not real.
Man, that was crazy. And then when they put it on Instagram, that's
of
when
course.
I was like, "Wow, that
you wasn't the only one."
I know.
You wasn't the only one.
Max Kellerman's another guy who
there was
they
a lot of people.
Cliff Kellerman.
Yeah,
that's off the cliff.
That's what they call Cliff Kellerman, right? We were like, remember, we were like, "Who are you talking about?" And he's like,
right.
"Oh no, Cliff."
It's funny, man. But
Willie, what is Belichick like? I hear. hear stuff like, oh, he's funny. I hear ex-players say that. But we can't, from the outside, you can't picture any of that. Because what is he really like when you're on the team and all that?
He is. I mean, he's protective of his team and his players. And I think we pay more attention to him at the podium than we do on the players. So I think it's masterful how he takes that,
right?
You know, that whatever he takes at the podium, and now it's about him versus the players and what's going on. But I think, you know, to be able to be around players for a number of decades, because the player changes, right? The player has changed so much from when I came in till now. The way they digest information, the way they communicate, the social media, everything has changed about the player. So to get these players to buy in, you got to be able to understand where they come from, how they communicate, how they are now, how they're wired. And I think he does a great job of being old school, being now, like in the now with these millennials, and,
right,
and being able to get guys to buy in and play at a certain level consistently. You know, it's powerful when you can get a group of men to buy into team versus individualism.
Right.
And when you can do that and to play unselfish and to be unselfish and do that, I think it's a powerful thing, and I think it creates for consistency and success.
It's the Odd Couple, joined by three-time Super Bowl champion Willie McGinnis.
And you can see Willie throughout the week on NFL Network's NFL Total Access at 7 p.m. Eastern from Atlanta. And on Super Bowl Sunday, NFL Network will provide 8.5 hours of pregame coverage.
Ooh.
From Atlanta, you're going to be making some big money starting at 9 a.m. Eastern. Now, Willie, here's the one thing about Bill Belichick I don't understand when they talk about the Patriot way and the philosophy that he has. How come it hasn't been able to transfer over to those assistants who were there, who went on to go take, you know, other jobs? Is it more about just Bill and Brady and maybe not something that you could take elsewhere and succeed with? Because none of his guys from his tree have been able to duplicate any kind of success away from Bill.
Sure. Billy O'Brien has won a division three times.
Other than him. But there's been a lot of other guys. Well, what I'm just saying, there's a lot of other guys.
It's only two. It's Josh McDaniels, right?
No.
It's Josh McDaniels and Romeo Crennel.
Romeo Crennel. What about Charlie? Charlie Weiss. Charlie Weiss was there.
Everybody, look, here's
I'm
the thing.
I'm just asking, okay.
Everybody – and you look at a lot of different coaching trees, whether it's the Andy Reid coaching tree or the Don Shula coaching tree
or Bill Walsh.
Okay, all right?
Right.
Like, everybody can't be a head coach. Like, there's a lot of coordinators that go out and they fail, right? There's more to being a head coach than just X's and O's and lining up guys and having a whistle and a clipboard. There's a lot of things that go into that. And when you go into different situations, everybody wants the next Sean McVay, right? That coaching tree now,
right,
a two-year-old.
He has a coaching tree.
He's got a tree.
Right, they're hiring.
Got a tree. But
anybody who had a cup of coffee and a sweet roll with him, they're hiring.
But look at what he went into. Sean McVay is brilliant, and his ability to connect with players and his knowledge, and he's a student of the game, right? But look at the system he went into. You know, you had Les Snead as the GM. You had Kevin Dimoff. You had structure. You had a hell of a roster.
Right.
You had a hell of a roster. So you had a lot of support and structure around you. Some of these other coaches don't go into that. They don't have the power of the 53-man roster. They don't have the power to manipulate and move the cap and make those type of decisions. There's other people in the way. So you got to have that power if you go into another system. All those coaches don't have that. They all try to find it. They all try to emulate it, but doesn't have that from top to bottom. So when you look at some of these coaches, Matt Patricia, he's in Detroit. He's trying to create that. He's
right.
Got the
Matt's
GM on his side.
Guy, right.
You know,
Bob Quinn, who came from New England.
Right. So they got guys that
they're
figuring out.
Scott Pioli was in Kansas City, right?
Scott Pioli's in Atlanta, too. He was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. So, you know, he's assistant GM over there. So he was in the Super Bowl. So you got to understand, man, there's a lot of coaches that are not meant to be head coaches, regardless of what tree they come from. And there's other guys that don't have the support group or the structure that Bill has earned in New England.
Should we not waste 30 seconds and ask you who you're picking in the game?
Or, I'm still watching tape. I don't do that.
You're still watching tape?
Why? Yeah. You don't just automatically.
Who'd you pick last year?
I'm 8-0. I'm 8-0 this year.
Who are you?
From the when the playoffs started, I picked every team.
Is that with the spread or not with the spread?
I don't do spread.
Okay.
Yeah. See, I like that. I'm the same.
No,
way.
But I'm just asking
I'm not,
because.
In the playoffs.
I'm just talking about.
Regular season, I do spread.
I'm just
playoffs,
saying,
I don't care about spread.
I'm asking.
When the playoff teams, when all the teams were picked, I have not lost a game. The only game
so
I think
did you pick the soup like
the only before? Game I lost was the Bears. I picked the Bears to beat Philly, and if the dude makes the field goal,
they win that game.
So before the playoffs started, did you pick a Super Bowl champion? Because you obviously picked the Rams and the Patriots, right?
I picked Patriots Saints 2 months out, and then after the Rams beat the Cowboys, I switched my pick to the Rams being in the Super Bowl because I took them because I saw the adjustments they made against the Cowboys.
And I agree with you. I did the same exact thing, and I didn't like the way the Saints were playing.
Right.
Right?
So I took them.
Willie,
right.
Thank you, bud.
Willie, great stuff, man. We
appreciate
it.
Good to see you guys, man. You guys do a great job, man.
Come visit me in Cancun.
I will, man. We're going to bring the family on vacation, man. You know, Cabo. Go to Cabo. It's more stuff to do at Cabo. All right.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
There's a report, Rob, that Dell Demps, the GM, general manager for the New Orleans Pelicans, of course, the embattled Dell Demps now that his best player, Anthony Davis, wants out. Remember, this happened to the Pelicans a few years ago. Chris Paul wanted out. And now Anthony Davis does. But the report is that he's not answering the phone for trade calls. You know what? More power to Dell Demps. If Anthony Davis doesn't want to play fair, then why should Dell Demps?
Right.
I think he'd be idiotic to trade Anthony Davis before February 7th, the trade deadline.
I agree with you, Chris, and I also think that people don't understand. This is a multi-million-dollar business.
Right.
And you have people to answer to, not just the people who buy tickets. You have sponsorships and people who are paid money.
And you know who answers to, right? who deals with you when they're not happy.
Yes.
Your owner, your president, whoever.
Absolutely.
No question about it. And honestly, this may very well, I might even say probably, cost Dell Demps his job.
Might probably will.
About to lose your best player. He's got a year left on his deal. And so I'm fine with Dell Demps doing this. Look, Boston may be able to make you the best offer.
And you should
wait till they can get involved, and then you'll know where their picks are too.
Also, wait because maybe the Knicks have that pick, so you need to let the season play out, number one, number two,
whatever it is.
And then, Chris, you could go, okay, this is bad. We're not ever going to get fair equal value for a guy like that, but I need to make sure we get another star to replace him.
Right,
right. A potential young star who we're going to have for the next 5 or 6 years.
Worst comes to worst, and you don't deal with Boston or New York, you can always go back to the Lakers. LeBron James is not about to sit by for another year of mediocrity.
Right. And
he's going to demand you get Davis whatever it takes.
And those guys are still going to be there.
Right.
So there's
get
no
Kuzma,
rush.
Kuzma, Ingram, Ball, anytime you want.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Sources close to Lonzo Ball say he doesn't want to get traded to the New Orleans Pelicans. He would rather get traded to Chicago or New York. Because in New Orleans, he doesn't want to go to a place where their point guard situation is already established. Now, let me run down the backcourt, the point guards.
Let me hear these
the
players. Let me hear these players that
in
he's
New
shaking
Orleans
the boots.
That Lonzo doesn't want to compete against.
Let me hear this.
For playing time.
Are these all guys who made All NBA last year or something that I don't know?
Far from it. Elfrid Payton.
Who?
Etuan Moore.
Who?
Ian Clark.
Who?
You're right.
Who is it?
Who?
Lonzo.
Never heard of him.
If you can't compete with them, if you don't want to compete with them, then I'm sorry. You're not a starter in this league.
Can I say this, Chris, too? Lonzo hasn't played well enough to be worried about anybody else. Worry about your own game.
Right.
And you should be willing to take on a challenge to prove yourself, get an opportunity to get back out there and be worried about improving your
right.
game and not who else is on the team.
Right. And it looks terrible because, again, Elfrid Payton would be in the bottom 10 of point guards in this 30-team league. And if you are afraid to compete with him, then I'm sorry. Something's wrong. Now, here's the thing. I don't think it's just, if at all, a fear of competing with those three guys I named. Because the Pelicans have said, according to sources, that they view Lonzo as a future starter. That they would like to give him 35 minutes a game next to Drew Holiday, who they think is more of a two guard. I think it's really about the market. You know, because the teams he mentioned he'd like to go to, New York, Chicago. Now, granted, they don't really have point guards either, but they're big markets.
Right.
So that's what Lonzo and LeVar and his camp is thinking about. Get to a big market. They don't want to be in the small market of New Orleans. But to your point, dude, you're not good enough yet. If you have to play in freaking Oklahoma City, Sacramento, the LA Clippers, whatever market it may be, the worst market in the league, you better go do it.
Absolutely. And you better be careful about wishing to go play in New York as well.
You know that,
and I know that.
Good point.
Because we've both written for New York papers. It ain't an easy place.
You shoot 45% from the free throw line, they ain't going to let you hear about
it. You will be booed.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. So, Lonzo, think about that when you talk about teams you want to go to.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.